Hey guys, welcome to Hallowed Groundling. I hope you're having a great week. Sorry that I missed a week with you guys. I just had a very busy week last week and I didn't get a chance to record. So here I am. It's been a pretty crazy couple of weeks. Our wedding is coming right up on October 13th. I'm very excited about that. We're getting married at the Athenaeum in Providence, a beautiful old spooky library that Edgar Allan Poe used to hang out in. His desk is actually still there. Supposedly his spirit haunts the place too. That is famously where Sarah broke up with him, poet, in one of the stacks. So they have the actual place where she broke his heart and drove him even more into madness, probably. So, and I'm so excited that I'm getting married there. How romantic. I want to give a special shout out to my darling fiance, Bill, who is one of my few listeners, and I love him very much, and I'm very excited to marry him very soon. So that's kind of why I had to take a week off last week, getting busy with wedding preparation, but I wanted to get right back into the swing of things, and I'm super excited about this podcast tonight for Flashback Friday Fright Fest. It's a movie, well, sorry, not a movie, it's a couple of movies, and soon to be a third movie, that I love very much. We're going to be covering House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects, and a little bit about Third from Hell, which is the newest installment in the Firefly family series. That's hard to say fast. I wanted to talk a little bit first about Rob Zombie. So, you know, a little bit of backstory about Rob Zombie. He was born January 12th of 1965. He was born in Haverhill, Mass., not too far from where I was born, actually. He was a founding member of the band White Zombie, and he did his first solo album, Hellbilly Deluxe, and that actually was in 1998 when I was doing research. I cannot believe that album came out 20 years ago. That's kind of scary, actually. But it was his first solo album, and it did very well. And he ended up breaking off and starting into films as well right after, not long after that, actually, because then it went right into everything else. So he is, of course, married to Sherry Moon Zombie, who is in all of his films. She's been in every single one, you know. And she's wonderful. I love her. I think she's a fantastic actress. I don't think it's just the nepotism of being his wife. She actually is a really great actress, and I enjoy her very much in all of his films, even the ones I haven't enjoyed as much. I'll definitely be covering him again because I love Lords of Salem, so that will definitely be one that I'm doing very soon, and probably actually quite soon, because just a little segue, tomorrow I'm going to be going to Salem for the day for a visit with two of my very dear friends. They're taking me on like a mini bachelorette adventure kind of thing for the day. So we're going to, you know, in typical, you know, bachelorette fashion, you know, we're going to go out and get some lunch and go to the Peabody Essex Museum and go shopping around Salem. Well, we're older and we're not boring, but we're older and we love spooky stuff. So it'll be a really, really great day. And I'm very excited to go there and actually see some of the locations from Lords of Salem. And I also want to see the house from Hocus Pocus because I know that's there too. So, but I will definitely cover him again later because I love his other movies. I definitely want to talk about his Halloween remakes. But tonight we're going to be talking about the Firefly family series, which I love so much. So let's go right into House of a Thousand Corpses, shall we? So House of a Thousand Corpses actually came out in 2003. And it was, of course, written and directed and co-scored by Rob Zombie. And the basic premise of the movie is that it's about this group of kids, these four kids. They end up, they're on a road trip across the country trying to figure out all the fun little, you know, sideshow rest stops that they can find. And they, of course, come across Captain Spaulding's, you know, Museum of Murderers and Madmen. And they go in and they find out about a local legend called Dr. Satan, and they ask for, you know, how they can find out where Dr. Satan's, you know, final resting place is. Captain Spaulding gives them a, you know, a little map and they follow, but then of course, you know, baby ends up on the side of the road hitchhiking, they pick her up, they get a flat tire, and they end up at the Firefly house. And you know, monstrous stuff ensues after that. They each one of them gets killed in very gruesome ways until the final girl is, you know, basically running for her life at the end. And she does meet up with Dr. Satan eventually, very unfortunately for her. And it's, you know, it's a really great film. I mean, I really love House of a Thousand Corpses. I know it's not everybody's favorite, and I know it's kind of a weird movie, and it's very gory, and, you know, it's a little hard to take at some level. I think some of the worst scenes are, like, you know, the torturous scenes, of course, but it's pretty creepy. When they get lowered into the coffin, that always bugs me, because I'm not a big fan of being buried alive. That really bugs me out, so that scene always freaks me out when I watch him, when they're getting in the bunny costumes and they get lowered into the pit in the end, you know. But, you know, the thing about the movie is it took such a great, he took such a nod to, like, 70s, you know, horror films. Like, definitely, I mean, took a huge, huge take from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and also from The Hills Have Eyes as well. I mean, it definitely has all of the feeling of those films. And he's admitted that freely, that, you know, they definitely took a nod from those films in order to make this. So some of the cool, I want to talk a little bit about some of the neat parts of the movie before I get into about talking about the cast a little bit more. So the movie was actually filmed at the same house where they filmed The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, because it was done basically on the Universal back lot. The way that this movie came about actually was that Rob Zombie was asked to design the haunted house at Universal Studios, and they were going to call it House of a Thousand Corpses. That's what he was going to call it. And while he was making this haunted house idea, he came up with the idea of making the movie, and he pitched it, and they loved the idea, and he went home, he made, like, a 12-page treatment, and he said, like, a couple months later, he was making the movie. He had written a script, and he was ready to make the movie. So he definitely had his ideas in place. And apparently, so this movie was actually made in 2000, and then it was shelved because they just couldn't find a place for it. They were afraid that a lot of the scenes that involved, you know, the violence and the necrophilia, that it would cause it to have an NC-17 rating. So they were going to put it, they just put it on a shelf, basically, which is what they do with movies when they don't know how to distribute them. And Rob had to buy back the movie, actually, and then he sold it to Lionsgate to be distributed. So he actually did get it out there, but it was all filmed on the studio backlot. And an interesting tidbit about it was that since, you know, the haunted house that they made, they called it, like, American Haunting or something along those lines, like an American horror story, not American horror story, but, like, something along those lines, like an American Haunting or something like that, instead of calling it House of a Thousand Corpses. But they did actually show the trailer to the movie, so they did give him a little bit of a plug once, you know, they had used, and I guess a lot of the aspects of the haunted house were very much like what was in the movie. So it's kind of cool. Hold on, I'm taking a sip. Sorry about that. I was getting kind of dry. It's, you know, that's kind of a neat part of the film, actually, that I love very, very much, is that it was, you know, it was shelved and then it was bought back. And of course, you know, it got a terrible critical reception once it was actually released. And, but it's gotten a really great cult following. I think there's a lot of people that really love it for what it is and take it, you know, very tongue in cheek. And apparently, you know, and the film is very funny. It's got very silly, funny moments in it, that I love so much. And apparently it wasn't supposed to be like that. When Rob wrote it originally, he wrote it very dark and sinister and scary. And as the film evolved and the actors took over the role, you know, took the roles and ran with them, he realized that it had a silly element, and he kind of just let it be. And which I loved that about him, that he didn't, like, force the movie to be something that he didn't want it to be. Oh, I'm sorry, that he wanted it to be. He just let the movie kind of become what it would with the actors and let the, you know, the characters unfold and progress. So kind of a neat little tidbit about him and his filmmaking styles. Kind of a neat thing about this film as well, like one of the fun aspects of it, is all the characters, like a lot of the main characters, are named after characters from Marx Brothers films. So Captain Spaulding, obviously, is from Animal Crackers. It's Groucho Marx's character from Animal Crackers. they do point all this out in the second film, which we're about to talk about too, the sequel. Otis Driftwood is from A Night at the Opera. Rufus Firefly, who is the brother, one of the brothers, his from Duck Soup. And Hugo Hackenbush, who's Grandpa Hugo in the movie, is from A Day at the Races. So that's kind of cool. They're all like, you know, definitely took that inspiration and named all of them out. So let's talk a little after that. I meant to finish that statement. I'm sorry. So let's talk a little bit about the cast. I have to start off and talk about Captain Spaulding. Captain Spaulding, of course, is played by the great Sid Haig. He is my favorite character in the film. I think he's almost everybody's favorite character. Sid Haig just completely embodied this role, and he played him so well. And just, I could watch the opening scene a million times, and it still makes me laugh. It's still so funny. And I'm really happy I got to meet Sid Haig at TerrorCon that they did here in Providence a couple years ago. And he couldn't have been nicer. He was so kind. And I love this little story. It's so cool. And I don't know if I've told you this before, but I might have, but I don't care. I'm telling it again. When we met him, Bill, my boyfriend, he loves Get Smart. And I love Get Smart, too. And he brought the insert from his box set, you know, for the series, because Sid Haig did tons of television. You know, he's just a long time character actor. He was on the original 1960s Batman series. He was in a King Tut episode as an alchemist. He's wonderful, and he was great in Get Smart. He was in two episodes, I believe. Bill will correct me if I was wrong on that, but I think it was two. And he was very funny in both of the episodes that he was in. And so when we went to meet him, you know, I, of course, had him sign a Captain Spaulding picture, and he was very sweet to me. And then Bill was right next to me, and he put out the booklet from the Get Smart box set, and his eyes lit up, and he said, oh, you know, because like you could tell that he didn't sign things like that very often. And he just started telling Bill about, you know, filming the series, and was just so nice, and I think, like, enjoyed the fact that it was something different from what he normally has to sign. So he was lovely, and we got to sit in on a panel with him and some of the other it was like a murderers panel or something, and like slasher panel or something was what it was called. And it was Kane Hodder and him and David Naughton, I can't remember his name off the top of my head from Silent Night, Deadly Night was there. And anyway, one of the leather faces, my brain is terrible tonight. Anyway, they were all there on this panel about murderers, and he was very funny because, you know, somebody asked him, like, in the audience, like, what his favorite, you know, line was from one of his movies, like, what's his absolute favorite line he's ever said. And of course he was like, he said, you know, he looked right at him and he said, you know, fuck your mama, you know, fuck your sister, fuck your grandma, most of all, fuck you. And then, of course, he said, motherfucker got blood all over my best clown suit. And everybody started laughing, you know. And it was wonderful to hear him do a little Captain Spaulding for everybody. Anyway, he embodies the role so well, and he's fantastic in it. He's funny, and he's scary, and he, you know, he has such a contorting face. He could just, you know, his eyes get real big, and he just really loved playing a psychopath. He was fantastic in it. And I could talk about him forever. Also, I mean, this cast is fantastic. Bill Moseley plays Otis, Otis Driftwood, and Bill Moseley is another one. He embodied the psychopath, cuckoo, crazy. You know, he's just completely nuts. And he's wonderful in the role. And Sherry, of course, Sherry Moon plays Baby, the sister. And she's got her high-pitched giggle, and she's in her high-pitched voice. And she's so sweet and scary all at the same time, and really funny. And I was happy that they kind of broadened her character even more for Devil's Rejects, you know, because it's such a great character. And she wasn't just this kind of, like, vapid, you know, thing that you saw in the first one as much. She was a little more vapid in the first one. Then the second one, you see a little bit more from her, and she was fantastic in it. Of course, the fantastic Karen Black played Mother Firefly in the first film. She's wonderful. Karen Black is, like, in all her wild-eyed glory in the film. You know, she plays, like, the mother of all these reprobates, basically. And she's like perfect in the role. You know, she's scary, but also kind of like you think maybe she might like be a little bit, you know, forgiving to them, to the kids when the kids are, you know, in danger. You know, she seems to be like she might help them. And then no, she doesn't help them at all. She's right along with her family and doing all the bad deeds. So, but she's wonderful in it, obviously. I mean, it's Karen Black. the wonderful Dennis Fimple plays Grandpa Hugo. Grandpa Hugo is like if Grandpa from the Munsters was just like a dirty, horrible, like worst dirty old man that he is. like the most like crass, dirty old man. He was definitely inspired by Grandpa from the Munsters. One little fun thing is that like Rob Zombie is the biggest Munsters fan ever. I remember I found a clip of it actually not that long ago in his house, in Sherry Moon's house. They have a room that is like completely dedicated to Munsters memorabilia. So he is like the biggest Munsters fan. He also owns one of the polar bears from the Addams Family, the original Addams Family that stood in the living room. That's in his house. It's nice having money. You know, I'd be that, you know, I'd be buying all that stuff too if I had that kind of money. But he's obviously a huge fan of the Munsters, and I think that Grandpa, you know, Hugo definitely took a definite nod from Grandpa from the Munsters. He even looks like him too. It's really funny. But he's fantastic at it. He's dirty and horrible as well. one of the kids, a quick quote on it, kids, they're not really kids, but Bill is played by the great Rainn Wilson from The Office. I love The Office. It's one of my all-time favorite TV shows. And I love that Rain is in it. It makes me really happy. And he's wonderful. He's wonderful as the character, you know. He did a lot of great character acting before he did The Office. He was also in Galaxy Quest. He played one of the aliens, the ones that come to get Tim Allen's character. And he sticks out like a sore thumb because he's so tall and he's got those real big eyes and everything. So, yeah, he's wonderful. And he's great in this movie as Bill. He ends up being Fish Boy. You know, it's pretty gruesome and disgusting, but he ends up being Fish Boy in the end. Steve Nash, one of the cops that comes to try to get the Firefly family, is played by Walton Goggins. And Walton's had a great connection to Quentin Tarantino recently. He was in Django, and he also did The Hateful Eight. He's one of the last survivors in The Hateful Eight, actually. Really great character actor. He's wonderful in Django. He's so awful and evil in Django. And then he kind of, you know, turned the corner a little bit in The Hateful Eight and was like a little bit of a nicer character in a way. Not really, though. He was still racist and, you know, but whatever. But he was a little bit like a little nicer than he was in Django. but he's, you know, they get into the Quentin Tarantino parade of actors that he uses. So, and he's great in this too. He's really wonderful in it. So, so that's kind of what I have to say about House of a Thousand Corpses. I really love that film. I think it's fantastic. It's a great, you know, it's a great first film for him. I think it was a wonderful way for him to get his feet wet. And he definitely had way more to say to us because his later films have been wonderful. You know, I have some bones with some of them, but for the most part, I really love what he's done so far. And I'll talk about the other ones, too, in another podcast. But let's go right into The Devil's Rejects. So The Devil's Rejects was made in 2005. And, of course, once again, it was written and directed by Rob Zombie. So the premise of this film is basically it picks up kind of where the last one left off. And the The Firefly family is hunkered down in their house, and the police come to basically, you know, seize them. And the brother of the sheriff that is murdered in the first one is played by William Forsythe, who plays Sheriff Waddell. And he's on this like bent revenge to get them because they, you know, they killed his brother, Mama, because Karen Black's character, Mama, kills his brother in the first one. She like blows his head off. And let me just mention that before I go right into Devil's Rejects, that scene, that's set to I'll Remember You, and it's kind of in slow motion. I remember watching that the first time, and the extended shot he took to shoot, the father in the, like, in the head when he, like, oh no, no, sorry, Walter Goggins' character, when he took that extended shot and, like, backed up, and it was so long and so uncomfortable, and then he finally, like, blows his head off, and it was just that whole scene set to I Remember You was, like, so creepy. And of course, you know, it also is when she shoots the sheriff in the head too during that scene. So jump back to the Devil's Rejects. He's the brother of the sheriff in the in Devil's Rejects, and he's getting revenge for his brother. Basically, he won't stop until they're not just dead but tortured and killed, just like they've done to all their victims, and just like they killed his brother. So he's wonderful in the film. I can say that. Let me talk about the synopsis first before I get into the characters and the actors. So yeah, it picks up exactly where it left off. They run out of the house. Baby and Otis run out of the house. Mama is captured, and Baby and Otis run out. They call Captain Spaulding, who comes, and we find out that Captain Spaulding, at the end of the House of a Thousand Corpses, he's helping them, the Firefly family. God, the Firefly family. All right, I gotta do my enunciation. I'm not enunciating well. He's helping them, and he is he basically brings the final girl back to Dr. Satan and back to being tortured at the end of the film. And Baby calls him, and we find out that he's actually Baby's father. Otis is adopted, but he's Baby's biological father. And he goes on the run with them, and they, you know, are trying to hide, and they're, you know, they're running along, and they actually end up kidnapping this small, like, indie band that's in a motel, and they torture them, and they're, it's pretty graphic, pretty violent. There's a lot of, you know, the scene where they cut the face off of the guy, and then the girl puts it on and then runs out into traffic is just so disturbing. That scene is so horrible. But, you know, it's a great, I mean, horrible in the sense of it's horrifying, you know, when you watch it, but it's such an amazing movie. And then they go on, and they're in hiding, so they end up going to a man who owns a brothel named Charlie Altamont. And Altamont, of course, was like where the giant, you know, Hell's Angels fight was, you know, where the one with the Rolling Stones, and where and I'm sure that's kind of where he got that inspiration for that name. I have to look that up, but I'd be pretty sure on that. I think I could bet on that one. Anyway, they go and they stay with Charlie, and of course Charlie turns them in, you know, he kind of does a Lando Calrissian on them and turns them into the sheriff. And the sheriff, of course, you know, tortures all three of them, and they do end up getting away, and they are driving this beautiful final scene, one of the most beautiful scenes in a film that I love so much, is set to Free Bird, and they drive, basically do a Thelma and Louise drive into their own death. They're driving to a police barricade. They're all three of them are completely bloodied up and battered, and they drive into this police barricade shooting guns, and we fade to black, basically, and we don't know what happens to the three of them. We don't see the final, but you assume that they all died because they're being, you know, completely shot up by, like, you know, dozens of cops, you know, so you assume that they're gone, but, you know, of course, it is movie, and it is movie magic, so that's kind of the premise of it. I want to mention, you know, before I go back in and talk about a little bit more about the characters and the actors in the movie, that final scene when we saw Sid Haig at the panel, somebody asked him what his favorite, the favorite thing he's ever filmed in his whole career. And he said, without a doubt, it was the final scene in Devil's Rejects. He said, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever filmed. Because when I saw it, I got real emotional when I saw it, because it was just so pretty. And it really is. I mean, it's a gorgeous shot. He's got this gorgeous panning shot over the road, and it's just beautiful. It's absolutely lovely. And I think he did a great job with that final scene. I was like, you can kind of see how he'd grown as a filmmaker, and he keeps growing. You know, his films are just getting better and better every single time I see them. So I think, you know, he's learned more as he's gone along, and he's done even better. So I love that that's his favorite too, because I do love that scene as well. So let's go a little bit back. I believe at this point Karen Black had passed away, and I'm pretty sure of that. So Karen Black had been the character. They had to recast Mama because Karen Black was gone, and they cast Leslie Easterbrook, which is pretty cool. Leslie Easterbrook was in the Police Academy movies. She played, oh God, why is her name going out? What is the character name? She's blonde and tall, and she was like Hooks. No, not the Hooks. Hooks is the one with the high voice. The one that, excuse me, that one. No, this is, what the heck's her name? I'll have to look it up. It's killing me. I've seen all the Police Academy movies, and not for fun, I'll tell you that much. That's a reference to The Simpsons, for those of you who don't know. When Homer says, you know, why do you think I took you to all those Police Academy movies? For fun? She'd be like Callahan. Callahan was her name. So, yeah, and she's great as Mama. You know, it's a very small role. They cut the role down. It's kind of like the sheriff just interrogates her. And she's wonderful and kooky and crazy in it. And she was fantastic in it. And, of course, he was also Danny Trejo is in this one as Rondo, which is fantastic. He's kind of one of the goons for the sheriff who's trying to track down the family. And I love Danny Trejo, who doesn't, and he's wonderful in the movie as well. There's also other great cameos in this film. PJ Souls has a cameo, a fantastic cameo. She's wonderful anyway, but she's like a mom and has a little boy, and like she's trying to get in her car and get her son in her car so she can get to work. And Captain Spaulding needs another car because his car breaks down, so he basically goes and, you know, and says, "I need to take your car," you know, and like He just like threatens her and like ends up punching her in the face, and then like getting in the car with the little kid. And he looks at me, he's like, "Why are you crying? Don't you like clowns? Aren't we fucking funny?" You know, like, "Don't we make you laugh?" And it's like, and the kid's just, you know, and he's like, "You know, you better find a reason why you like clowns when I'm going to come back here and talk to you. If you haven't, you know, I'm going to kill your whole family." You know, and he's just, this little kid's just, he's crying, and he gets him out of the car, and he just goes, "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah." It's so funny. I don't know why I love that scene so much. I just do. And of course, PJ Souls plays his mom, you know, the wonderful PJ Souls from Halloween and Carrie, and she's got a great horror movie career. I love PJ Souls. And then another great cameo in it is at the very beginning of the film, Captain Spaulding is kind of in a fantasy world of his own, where he is dating Ginger Lynn, the porn star, who she actually plays a character named Fanny. And, you know, they have a sex scene at the beginning of the movie. And she's wonderful in it. Ginger Lynn's great. She's fantastic. And it was funny too, I got to mention, when we saw them at the panel, and somebody said to him, you know, "What was it like having a love scene with Ginger Lynn?" And he looked at them and he said, "What do you think it was like? It was fantastic." And she's, he said she was lovely and he loved working with her. She was so kind, and he just had a great time working with her. She said she was a lovely person. So, and she's great in the movie. It's a great little cameo. She's a good actress. So another really cool person that's in this movie also is Priscilla Barnes, who was on Three's Company. She played, why am I not remembering? It was Chrissy, was Suzanne Summers, and then she was Terry. Thank you, Aaron's brain. she played Terry on Three's Company. And she's great in this too. She's really, I feel so bad. You feel so bad for these characters. She plays one of the people that gets kidnapped from the band in the room. And of course, you know, they all end up dead at the hands of the Firefly family. I did at that time. And she's great in it though. She's really good. Another person that is fantastic in it as well that I have to talk about is the actor that plays Charlie Altamont, which is Ken Foray, the wonderful Ken Foray. Ken was in Dawn of the Dead, the original Dawn of the Dead with, you know, Tom Savini and the original George Romero, Dawn of the Dead in the mall. He plays the character Peter, and he is he's fantastic in this movie as the pimp Charlie, and Captain Spaulding's friend who kind of just sells him down the river. You feel really bad for them at the end that he sells him down the river. But he is wonderful in this, and he's wonderful in everything. He's got a great presence. You know, he's got a very deep voice, and he's got a very kind of a sinister presence to him that he, you know, that you can kind of feel, even though he seems like he's friendly and everything. One thing that I found in my research that was really exciting, actually, is that I never noticed this, but I should look more because there's all these little tidbits and things that you, you know, these little salutes that you see. In Shaun of the Dead, the electronics store that Shaun works for is actually called Foray Electronics. So it was for Ken Foray, which I thought was pretty cool, you know, one of those little George Romero tidbits that's inside of Shaun of the Dead, and I enjoyed that very much. I was like, oh my goodness, I never noticed that. It just never popped into my head, you know, but it's pretty cool and very exciting. I love The Devil's Rejects. I remember seeing it, and I liked it, you know, a lot. I was kind of, it was very surprising because I was expecting kind of more of a, you know, a shock fest, kind of like House of a Thousand Corpses is, but it wasn't like that. It was much more dark, and it was much more, and there are funny moments, again, just like there are in House of a Thousand Corpses. I mean, of course, you know, for anyone who's seen it, the ice cream scene in the van is like one of my absolute favorite things, and I still want a t-shirt of Captain Spaulding that says Tutti fucking Fruity, because it's like one of my absolute favorite moments in the movie, and of course, it's very funny, you know, and I love when Otis turns and like, there's no ice cream in your fucking future. And the next, very next, you know, cut, they have ice cream. You know, like, so basically you didn't see what happened between that scene and that scene, you know, but, I love that part. I think it's great. So it does have these like moments of black humor in it, you know, but, it also is so dark and sinister, and the ending is fantastic. It's just a really beautiful movie. So I definitely recommend it if you have not seen it. And then going right along, actually, I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say about it only because we don't know a whole lot, but Rob Zombie has actually just finished filming in April the trilogy, the sequel, once again, to House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects, which is going to be called Three from Hell. He filmed in March and April of this year. I followed very diligently on Instagram to see who was going to be involved in it. I do know that everybody's coming back, so it's going to be Captain Spaulding, Otis, and Baby. I don't know anything about how they survived. They're not talking about any of that. So I don't know. Like, we don't even know what the premise of it is. We don't even know what's going to happen. Hopefully, it doesn't have an official release yet, but hopefully it'll be 2019. That would be fantastic, which will be a great year for horror films. There's a lot of great stuff coming out in 2019. And I'm really excited to see this. You know, some of the other people that I know are in the cast, besides, you know, Bill Moseley, Sherry Moon, and Sid Haig, are Danny Trejo's coming back as well. Dee Wallace is in this one. I don't know who she's playing, but she's in this one. And also, Clint Howard is going to be in this one as well. They did have some of the names on Wikipedia of the characters, but I don't entirely trust that. So I was like, but I do know some of the actors that are going to be involved in the film, and that's pretty cool. And I'm excited to see what they do and how they're going to continue the story and how they survived the end. I mean, what they're going to say about that, you know, because, I mean, they're pretty well bloodied up at the end of that movie. So I don't know. We'll see what, you know, let's see what the explanation is at the beginning of it. So, but that's about it, guys. I was really excited to talk to you about these three tonight. I love these films. And as I said, I'm going to be covering Rob Zombie more because I love his other films too. But these movies are fantastic. I love them. They, you know, I always watch them together. I never, you know, just watch one or the other. I always have to watch them together. And I can't wait for Three from Hell so I can watch all three of them together. So that's about it, guys. So I'm going to be giving you some really great photos from Salem tomorrow. I'm excited about that. I can't wait to explore Salem and see some of the locations and some of the interesting places around the city and the shopping and the museums and all the great stuff that's there. So I'm really excited to visit it and to share it with you guys. And that's about it from Hallowed Groundling tonight. I hope you guys have a great Friday night. Stay spooky. Bye.